Greetings, everybody. Pastor Buddy, and I'm welcoming you in here tonight to join us live around the world on WWRB 3.185 Crew Channel on the transmitting Jewel of the South. Glad to have you in here. We got a great program for you, part three of The Flight of the Salmon and Holiness. You know, if you compare your journey of holiness, the Bible says straight is the way and narrow is the gate, and there few that beat it find it. And it also says that a standard of holiness without which no man shall see Yahweh, Hebrews 12:14, and in Romans 12:1, present yourself. You see, the salmon by his instinct presents himself to return. And you know, one of the most incredible things about the salmon, and we talked about the seven species that swim in the seven seas, isn't that strange, with seven spirits and things of this nature on the holiness of seven, which is complete. When that salmon, when he leaves the spawning ground, when he grows up, and he makes his way into deep water, and you know, the Bible said that the deep things of Yahweh are, it belongs to them that are of the bloodline of the Father, and going back into the genetics and the purposes, and the Bible said we're called with a plan, we're called with a holy plan. Be ye holy, for I'm holy. And unless you're holy, you can't go. Now, holiness is not, like I say, a priestly garb, running around with a long gown on, and making broad your palestries and trying to impress people with you being different. You know, that's not holiness. Holiness and practical holiness is those who, not like Balaam, who had a great profession of being righteous, but he had a greedy heart. He sold out for the wages, and you know, that's using your holiness as a pretense to make money. And most of the churches today, they're selling the wrong way. Tonight we're going to illustrate the second example for the mark of holiness, without which man shall see him, Hebrews 12:14, and it says to present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, for without holiness you are not going to see him. So, meaning that if you come back into the presence of Yahweh, that means that when you leave the spawning ground, when you hatch out into the spirit, and you take your deep flight, yea, the spirit searches the deep things, and it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. God has got so many, many awesome things to reveal to those who would change their ways. Now, the worldly way is to pursue happiness and carnality, and it emphasizes the attributes of strength and power, or to look good, or for a fair show in the flesh. Listen as I give you a few things to think about of a worldly Christian. Here's their motto. Blessed are the rich, for they don't need to depend on others. Isn't it wonderful that we're poor and needy, and we depend on one another? You know, brothers and sisters that stick together, they might not have a whole lot, but together they got enough to get the job done. Here's another thought for those who are worldly Christians that refuse to go up and spawn in the straight and narrow path and all the endangerments that they have. You see, the salmon, he's going to get there at all costs if he decides to go. Now, the Bible said, almost run that you may obtain. See, it's those that get to the spawning ground, and they know it's a one-way journey. Ladies and gentlemen, did you know that we're strangers and pilgrims here upon this earth? That means that we're not of this earth. We're not of this world. But blessed are the powerful, Well, they get to make all the rules. Blessed are the famous, for people will respect them because they're well known. Blessed are the strong, for they get to control the others. Blessed are those with a beautiful home, for theirs is the praise of men. Blessed are those who have well-behaved teenagers, for they are the envy of their neighbors. Blessed are those who marry well off, for they will have someone to care for their needs. Oh my, the deceitfulness of riches this and things this. Blessed are the beautiful people, for they will be invited to all of the parties. You ever wonder why they don't want you to come? Because you're a party spoiler. Blessed are those that are considered experts and are exalted for their talents and accomplishments by being put on a pedestal, for they will rejoice and be glad, for that kind of glory is the greatest reward. Listen what the Father said in Matthew chapter 7. Listen. Now that's the way the world sees it. That's worldly wholeness. Yeah, you know the big preachers, man, oh man. I can remember some big ones. But the bigger they are, the harder they fall. The more that they are great in the world, and the more that they're highly esteemed, going with the flow, it is the salmon that go against the flow, facing all obstacles in the narrow pathways and the narrow waterways. Listen to what Yahweh said. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those that mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of Yahweh. Blessed are those who have been persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you. Oh, man, they don't care. They ain't got no respect for you. You're just a piece of crap. You ain't important. You're poor. You don't wear the best clothes. You're not famous. You're not on television, and you're not styling and profiling. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. If you love Yahweh, you're going to be talked about. You're going to be hated and despised. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets and myself before you. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Through 12. The world says the way to happiness is to be rich, powerful. But the Messiah says to be poor in spirit. The world says be powerful, but the Messiah, Yahweh, in a flesh body says mourn and pray. The world says be famous, but the Messiah said, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but I, the Son of Man, have no place to lay my head. The world says, be strong, but the Messiah says, hunger and thirst for righteousness, for in your weakness my strength is made perfect. The world says, have a beautiful home. But the Messiah says, be merciful to those. And remember the poor always. The world says, I have well-behaved children. But the Messiah says, whosoever loves house, land, wife, children, or their own life more than they love me ain't worthy of me. Well, my son goes up to the University of Minnesota or Hawaii, or he goes to Harvard or to Yale, or he goes to Rhodes. He's a Rhodes scholar. Oh man, how they boast and stick their chest out, and then they don't know enough of the narrow path to spawn in the spawning ground. They can't set their sails and sail through the treacherous waters with a seaman's understanding. You better see it, ladies and gentlemen. You better walk it. You better talk it. You better preach it on the phone. You better get on the radio and tell everybody it's time to go home. Bless it. The world says, marry well. But the Messiah says, be a peacemaker. The world says, be beautiful. But the Messiah says, let yourself be persecuted for righteousness. For I am meek. I was not disarmed. I'm comely. You see, ladies and gentlemen, he didn't pick the Hollywood set. You know, most people watch the Hollywood scene. They sit hours and hours and hours in the things that the beautiful people of Hollywood, when they make up, they spend idle hours. No wonder they don't know nothing about the spawning salmon. No wonder that they don't know how to set their sails. No wonder they don't know how to dig in and hold on. No wonder that they'll never find the way that is hidden from the wise and the prudent, and only would be revealed to the babes and suckling. I'd rather spend a day in the presence of Yahweh than to be in a house filled with fools, eating and drinking and being merry. The world says, blessed are you when you have accomplished and gained notoriety, and people praise you. But the Messiah says, blessed are you when you are wrongly accused, when you're in the narrow way, when you're in the spawning ground, when you're fighting the good fight of faith, when you're laying hold on eternal life, when you're pressing toward the mark, when you know that you have been persecuted for righteousness' sake, and that you're over the target and you're receiving the flak. They shall hate you, they shall kill you, they shall deliver you up to the councils, they will come against you. But the Messiah said, blessed are you when you are persecuted for my sake. Let me tell you how, ladies and gentlemen, on this life segment of the spawning of the salmon, the way of holiness, tonight, part three of the way to set your sail. Remember now, it's the old gospel ship. It's the one that Paul said, unless you remain in the boat, unless you remain on board. You see, it was being wrecked. It was being dashed against the stones. It looked like a total disaster. It just looked like a pile of wood floating upon the sea with barely a place to stand. And the sailors who had been in this great tragic storm seen their boat broken up, the sails ripped from the mast, dashed against the stones, and they were just barely hanging. And they saw the land, the distant shore, and the rocks. And Paul said, behold, as they tried to depart the ship, he said, brethren, I'm going to remind you that I had an angel stand by me last night. And he said, except you abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. How are you going to set your sails? Listen to my little poem here I've got for you tonight. I stood beside the open sea, and the ships were sailing by. The wind wind blew softly o'er the lea, and the sun had a cloudless sky. Some ships sailed eastward, and some sailed to the west. Some north and some southward trend. But how can ships sail this way and that, but one way blows the wind? An old sea captain made his reply, his locks with salt spray wet. 'Tis not the wind that decides the course, 'tis the way the sails are set. I stand beside the sea of life, and the ships go sailing by. The winds blow fair from heaven's land, with no clouds that dim the sky. But one sails eastward and one sails west. One sails north and one southward goes. How can ships sail this way and that with the selfsame wind that blows? A voice made answer to my soul, 'tis not how blows the gale. Each voyager decides the goal by the way he sets his sail. How you set your sail here tonight, ladies and gentlemen, on the pursuit of holiness without which no man shall see him. Are you one of those fair-weather Christians, everything's fine and dandy, but when it comes to persecution and the word, you turn back and run and you flee when no one pursues you? Ladies and gentlemen, it's not the blowing of the gale. Each voyager decides the goal. It is determined as the wind blows one way by how he sets his sail. You see, there's a rudder on that ship. And if you turn that sail at an angle to catch the wind, although it's only blowing one way, you can sail east, north, south, or west. And if you were up at the top of the earth and you had four boats fixing the sail all in different directions, one sailing east, one sailing west, one sailing north, and the other sailing south, they'd all, although they went away from each other as they left the top of the earth, they would all meet together facing the right way when they met at the bottom of the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, did you know that heaven was searched and beneath the earth was searched, and there was no one that had set their sails right? That even those that were disobedient in the days of Noah, that they did not have enough intestinal fortitude to stand up in the days of Noah. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. A few, 'tis was, that had sailed through the gale with his righteous soul set to sail. You got to run this race, ladies and gentlemen. You got to run it with patience. You got to run it with joy. And you got to run it with peace and love. You got to run it. And you'll need a brother. You'll need a sister. I couldn't make it without my brothers and sisters. I wouldn't want to make it without my brothers and sisters, although it's a lonely walk, even if you've got them, because they're few and far between. They are scattered far and wide. They are a few there be that have set their sails with the intent that they're going to make it through regardless of the cost. I shall endeavor. Paul said, I'm not only willing to suffer, I'm ready to die. Examine me and see if I'm sound in the faith, Father. Prove me, test me, and try me. Tell me how to set my sail. And the Father says, you must sail through hell. You must narrow stretch of sea that comes through a certain strait called the Gibraltar Strait. And there's a rock formation that the sons of Jacob have commanded since time immortal almost. And when there's wars, no enemy dares to set his sail to come through the Gibraltar Strait. He becomes a sitting duck in the water. And ladies and gentlemen, I guarantee you one thing. If you're going to practice the true holiness without which no man shall see him, you've got to have a oneness heart. Through wind, through hail, you better set your sails in the direction of righteousness and kingdom power. You better stay with the holy people, the poor people. A holy man will endeavor to shun ever known sin and avoid the acts of foolishness. Even the faults of foolishness is sin. How you gonna make it in if you ain't got your sail set on the kingdom? How you gonna sail your ship without your brothers and sisters to be there to help you? Very seldom can a lone wolf sail the seven seas. It takes men that are in unity. Holiness is a habit of being in one mind, one spirit, and by one faith through one body shall you sail the seven seas, just like the seventh species of the salmon is going up the narrow path of the Gibraltar Strait. They'll go through there, loath that there is enemies to be encountered, though there is treacherous water out on the stormy sea. Endeavor. Decide to bend your heart toward the Father. Do not displease Him. Walk in fear, considering yourself, lest you be a castaway. I will esteem all your precepts, Yahweh, concerning all things to be right. And I hate every false way. Psalms 119, verse 128, one of my favorite scriptures. Strive to enter in the straight gate, sail through the Gibraltar Strait, set yourselves aright, and catch the wind. The Holy Ghost is like a wind. You can't get there without the Holy Ghost. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind. And the apostles had their sails set to catch it. But these Edomite Jews down there in the same area where the wind was blowing, they didn't catch it because they didn't have their sails set. They was empty. They were barren. They had their broad robes, their long robes. Oh, they were down in the temple being holy men. Oh, yeah, they love to be seen in the marketplace. Oh, they would say long prayers when they were called on at the banquets. Oh, yes, they catered to the famous. You take Mr. Obama. He only invites the rich and the powerful and the Hollywood stars. The self-serving, the self-purposes, they've set their sails to sail through the world on the winds of Babylon. And ladies and gentlemen, he that sits in the heavens, he shall laugh. For a holy man will follow after meekness, long-suffering, gentleness, patience. He'll be kind. He will govern his tongue like the rudder of a ship. You set your sails and then you set the rudder. You set your course. A good seaman with seaman's legs. I don't care how much tossing to and fro. I found out one time when I sailed the ocean in 1958, I came across the most treacherous waters upon the planet, the North Atlantic. And man, we had a storm. I think it was Yahweh just to show me. and captain who had been a career sailor. And all the sailors on board, some of them 19, 20 years in the service, had never seen a storm blow up. I felt like Jonah. There it was with my little New Testament that I'd clutched in the North Country. I had made promises after promises after promises, and I couldn't wait. I couldn't wait to get back to civilization. I couldn't wait to get back to Norfolk, Virginia, because I had a girl waiting on me, and I had my convertible parked there at the post, and man, I was making plans to eat, drink, and be merry, and spend all of that money that I wasn't able to spend upon the rock in Greenland. It was covered with snow and ice. Didn't have no malls in those days, ladies and gentlemen. You just had barren, icy glaciers, rivers, fjords that were 20 and 30 feet deep with frozen solid ice. What fun it was. I mean, you can only skate so long till you get tired of skating. I'm telling you what, a lot of people are on roller skates and they're skating toward hell in a form and a fashion. Got their tongues a-wagging. Got all the pretty people falling after them. Oh, they think they'll be admired for their great saying. A holy man will follow after charity, and charity rejoices in the truth, and brotherly kindness. He will endeavor to observe the golden rule, as do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. He will be full of affection toward his brethren. Man, I weep when our brothers fail and come short. It hurts me. I don't enjoy it. I don't relish it. But you'll have to endure it. You know, your property and your body don't belong to yourself. It belongs to Yahweh. You've got to have feeling in your soul. The shekel and the cubit of the sanctuary were larger than those in common use. And yet, they said, silver and gold have I none. They had a bunch of it laid at their feet, and Peter walked over it. You think silver and gold means anything in the world to come, if you're selling toward a kingdom where they've got so much gold that even the streets are paved with it, and it's transparent? You ever found any gold on earth like that? I don't think so. He that loveth riches and loves the pretty people, loves to be seen and heard of man. My heavens. 1 Corinthians 13 and 1. It is not your outward, it is the inward. And if it's not washed and made whole and baptized in the name of Yahweh, you're gonna run in vain. If you don't know the true name, you're sailing in vain. You ain't got your sails set right. You ain't gonna sail into the port of glory. You're gonna miss it by a country mile. You're gonna sail into the harbor of Sinrat. You're gonna sail into the harbor where many professing that they know him, but in works they deny him. He that denieth Yahweh and is ashamed of him and his words. A holy man will follow after the spirit of mercy and benevolence. He'll love his brother, and by this all of the people of the world will know that you're disciples that are filled with the Holy Ghost because you love one another. We can't get together for a week without we fall out and murmur and fight and gripe and groan and moan and bitch and complain. Pardon my French. You know what that is? It's like one of those dog-faced salmons that I was talking about last night. Strive to be dotting about, seeking wealth like the Judas goats. Ladies and gentlemen, it's wonderful to have treasures. It's wonderful to have the things that you need. Yahweh promised Abraham was not a poor man. He was a rich man, but he had integrity. He didn't let the riches rule him. He ruled the riches for the glory of God. We're building us a boat like Noah built. There's a time coming that you're going to need to get on board. If you don't remain in the ship, you ain't going to be saved, and you can't remain in the ship and stay in tune with the brotherhood if you break the rules of the elders. You ain't going to stay there. They bear not the rod in vain. They will visit you. And blessed are those when they are chastised, that they will humble down and repent. Most of them are proud, dotting about, knowing nothing. Can't quote three scriptures, yet they know. They're just living and existing like a piece of dead flesh. They don't want to put their sails set right. You don't ever see them out there baptizing nobody or traveling this. You know, I had a brother that left Kansas and drove plumb to Wisconsin on his own, bearing his own finances, burdens, just to baptize two people. You think he's going to lose his reward? No, he set his sails right. He went and baptized them in the name of Yahweh. And let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, you can't escape the damnation that's coming to this whole earth because the Bible says, how shall you escape if you call me Lord and do not the things that I said to do? Do the work of an evangelist. Yahweh's worried about how much money you got, how much money you can save, not how much money you can give. It's not measured of how much you're going to take out of here, because it's for sure naked you came into the world and naked you're going to leave, and it's for sure you're going to take nothing with you. I'm purposed in my heart. I'll gladly be spent for you. For the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Acts 9:36, 2 Corinthians 12:15. The more that I strive to be useful, to serve this wicked generation, the less I'm appreciated. But I keep my sails set for the kingdom, for the harbor of Mount Zion, where no unclean thing will walk on that holy way. It's a way of holiness, and no unclean thing will walk thereon. A holy man will follow after purity of his heart. He will dread the filthiness and uncleanliness of spirit. It grieves the heart of the righteous. Lot was a righteous man, and the Bible said it grieved him from day to day to see the acts and the practices that was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. And as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Oh yeah, they got hate laws. You can't talk about it now, Pastor Buddy. Oh, I'm sorry. I wouldn't want to offend the devil. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to dig in. We need to sail in these treacherous waters. We need to put on the whole armor. We need to fight the good fight of faith. We need to dare to talk of the strength that David had as a young man when he mounted up the slingshot and he sunk the stone of righteousness between the eyes of the giant devil that was before him. And I can just see him right now, little David. Probably took out his harp. Oh, if he had a harmonica back in him, but it would. I'm just picturing this. Before he cut the old giant's head, after he sunk his head in with a stone, he jumped up on his armor plate and his chest, and he probably done a tap dance. Got my sails set. You come against me with your false gods, and I came against you in the name of Yahweh. Pulled out his whole harmonica and he played a tune. in the seven seas. I'm like the salmon that won't give up, though there's obstacles, and though there's dangers, and though there's battles. I have set my sail, and I've caught the wind of the Holy Ghost, and I shall not fear. Who can fail? Oh, man. Did you know the Bible said that a soul venture will break a bone? Did you know that the Holy Ghost is a discerner? Do you know I'm showed a lot of things before they ever happened, and I try my best as with much permission as I have, because you see, life is a set of rules and living. And when you preach about, I preached a message on the day of Passover several years ago to a group of people that mocked and made fun of Yahweh. Those people now are divided to the seven seas in a disastrous boat that shipwrecked their faith. The earth has opened up and swallowed them alive. And when they cried for mercy, there was none. It'd be better for you not to know the way than to know it and not go it. You've got to press toward the mark and the high calling. A holy man will follow after Yahweh. He will be a slave. He will sail on that boat without murmuring and complaining. He will go up and he will wash down the deck. He will clean up his life. He will present himself a living sacrifice, sailing the treacherous sea. Although the journey is long and it's hard, and the pay is meager, I shall not fear. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, although I know I'm going to spawn, and after I spawn, I know it's going to be death. But I'm going there to bring forth fruit, and it's a one-way journey. Ladies and gentlemen, remember the spawning salmon when he made it to the spawning fields. That salmon knows by instinct that he's never going to sail again in calm water. It's one way in and it's one way out. It's for certain, ladies and gentlemen, you, that you brought nothing in the world and you ain't going to take nothing out. It's wonderful. Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 15. You ought to read it, ladies and gentlemen. I fear Yahweh, he said. I blush to look into the heavens. I'm appalled at what's going on in the house of Israel. You're eating and drinking. You're sailing on the luxury liners of life. You love beauty. You love praise. You love the big temples. You love the big Baal platforms. A holy man will follow after humility, and he'll have a plate of humility to eat. It's humiliating to be with a little ragtag group of people that love Yahweh and are baptized in his name and stand on holy sacred altars and wear their headbands. And they're so thankful and they're so full of royal priesthood glory, they can't wait to get out on the sacred circle and raise their hands and their swords toward heaven and declare in an oath, I love Yahweh and I'll serve him till I die, because I'm on the battlefield for Yahweh. He with the czar and lowness of mind to esteem all others better than himself. He looks across when he lifts up the cup and he takes stock and he remembers his vows and he says, I will pay my vows. I'll never forsake. I will never betray my brothers as a Judas goat. If they go down, I'll go down with them. A captain that abandons ship in the time of trouble is no captain. Paul said, if I abandon this ship, or if you abandon this ship, you ain't going to be saved. You better stay on board. I know don't care if there's nothing but a splinter to hold on to, if there's nothing to stand on but a straw in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean and waves 30 feet high, stand on it because Yahweh said to stand. Stand when the world's on fire. A holy man will follow after faithfulness. All of his duties will be performed as an able soldier. He will fill his place and stand in the gap. He'll take no thought for his body. He will hazard his life. His motives will be those to help others of his brothers. Instead of that, they got a knife for your back like a Judas. That's those that say that they're holy. That's those that have put on the garments of priesthood and forgot what manner of man they were. And they walk away and the earth opens up and swallows them. And they're no more. Last but not least, a holy man will follow after spiritual mindedness. Oh yeah, he knows. You talk spiritual things and man, I can tell every sheep that's been to the water to drink has got down and lapped it up like a dog. Because the world sees you as a dog. And you're treated like one. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, they'll not neglect the business of the king. They'll not neglect to put on the whole armor. You'll know you're up against, you know if you come against one of them, you got to fight, because if you fight one of them, you'll have to fight them all. If you kill one, you'll have to kill them all. Because they are the king's children. They are the royal priesthood. They are those that lift the cup in righteousness. They would never do anything to offend or betray the family. Like David when he jumped on the chest of the giant. Did you know that same giant that David was standing on and took his head off? That he had defied the armies of Yahweh? The whole of the armies, there was thousands of men that were not measuring up. They were not putting on their armor. They would not dare go up against the giant, the Goliath. Because his sword was 9 feet. He stood 13'6". He had a spear like a weaver's beam, and his armor weighed 350 pounds, and he defied the armies of Yahweh. And here come a man with, oh man, I wish I could measure him and be a little David. Play on your harp, little David, play on. I believe he got up and I believe he done a toe-tapping dance on the chest of the devil when he ripped his head. And I can just see that matted hair and that blood and corruption. I can just see the blood and the guts and the brains dripping out the nose of Goliath, of great Babylon, when Yahweh rips his head off, when he slays all of the giants of those who would not let him be the master of their boat. Holiness, without which no man shall see the Father. Be ye holy, for I'm holy. Your heart's desire, as you press toward the mark, as you sail with your sails set in proper setting, you catch the wind of the Holy Ghost. And you're not afraid no more. David said, what are you? Who do you think you are? Here come the smallest man in the kingdom. Here come an unlikely source of redemption. You know, prophets don't get no honor. They get talked about. They get despised and spoke evil of by the so-calls. But if you're a spiritual being, you wouldn't dare lift your lips against a prophet of Yahweh. For it'd be better for you to put a millstone around your neck and jump into the Atlantic and hope that you sailed into the Pacific, and I doubt if you'd make it. You can confidently say, as you stand on the chest his thick armor on. Did you know that David took that sword? And he placed it as a memento to the cowards. The Bible said, take the spirit, which is the sword, and stand up and fight like a man. Try me. Yahweh, improve me. Let me prove to you that I'm saved by grace through faith and not of myself. It's a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. We're all in this boat together, and Yahweh is the captain of the ship. And if you'll set the sail right, we will make it in. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. That's home and supporting, Pastor Buddy. Why do you emphasize it so much to be holy? I could tell a holy person, I can't go. I just ain't got time. I ain't got no money. They're saving it for Wally World. Going to give it to Babylon. They love the pleasures of life. They wouldn't give you $5 in an offering to further the kingdom or the work. You know, we've been trying for years and years to get a body together to have a holy place to stand on the sacred circle that we could lift up our hands in private. Did you know that the Messiah liked to worship private? He didn't go downtown and scratch him out an altar or a platform down there and act like he was somebody. He headed for the mountains. You know what the Bible said? And when he was set, then the disciples came to him apart from the large crowds that followed him. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a long walk. Holy because the proof and the sincerity. This is spoken plainly in the 14th and the 15th chapter of St. John. If you love me, keep my commandments. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, it is he that loveth me. If a man love me, he will keep my words. Whatsoever I command you, he said in John 14 and 15, 21, verse 23, and 15 and 14, plain talk, easy understood. Yeah, he loved us good enough that they wove the crowns of thorns. And because the Messiah said he was a king, because he said he was a royal priesthood, because he's very humble and had humility, he wasn't downtown with the long garments on, speaking great words of men's wisdom to be admired. He was out there in the mountains with his sail set for the kingdom. He said, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. But I pray for you that you stay holy. I pray for you that you would pay the price. I pray for you that you would not let the devil in. Hereby we know him if we keep his commandments. Hereby we know that we're of the truth and we assure our hearts. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. If you're a believer, you look for a silver lining behind every dark cloud, because all things work to the good of them that love Yahweh. And lastly, and before I close, remember, because without holiness on earth, you ain't going to live holy in heaven if you ain't holy here. If you don't love him here, you ain't going to love him there. You got to be prepared to enjoy heaven. You got a plan. You got a purpose. You got to set your sail. And you like the salmon that is going up the stream against the traditions of the world. Maybe people don't like you because you're different. Because you won't yield. Because you're strange. Oh, you're in a cult. You know all those Yahweh cult people? I said, yes, I am. It's an honor to be in a cult. Oh, yeah. There will no wise anything that defiles enter in, neither whosoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. Revelation chapter 21, verse 27. If you want to make it in, you've got to be holy. If you want to make it in, you've got to start the journey. the kingdom. If you will love me, and if you will serve me, I'll make a bed for you in heaven of roses. There'll be no thorns. I'll have a crown laid upon your head, and I'll have angels to come and be your servants. And a billion years will go by. And you'll think about that journey as that long, lonesome salmon with all the odds against him of making it. And yet he went to the king's harbor and he spawned because he had his sails set right and he caught the wind of the Holy Ghost. I love you tonight with all of my heart. And I'll see you Friday night on WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel on the transmitting Jewel of the South with a brand new series. If you'd like to call me tonight, I'm live here on WWRB on a Wednesday night. You can call me by calling area code 423-626-2172. You ready to set yourselves? Are you ready to brother up? If you put your hand in mine or you hug my neck, you better believe in what you're doing, because your sins will find you out. If you've got any Judas blood in you, it'll show up. If you've got any Edomite blood in you, it'll show up. If you've got the Holy Ghost and you've set your sail, you're determined to spawn in deep water. Although it's rough and treacherous and many, many pitfalls, you're going to be like David. You're going to go up against the giant. Can you see little David with a sword that was 9 foot long? But he had to drag it. No doubt that the head was so heavy that he had to lean over with a sword in one hand, and he held it up. And he said, the birds of the air will pluck out your brains, you demon, you devil. Praise Yahweh. What confidence and what faith. Yahweh is a good, strong tower. And the Bible said the righteous run into it and they are safe. I guarantee you one thing, ladies and gentlemen. The price is never too heavy. What if you gained the whole world and you lost your soul? What would you give in exchange? Let's run the race. Let's sail in those treacherous waters. Let's set our sails and catch the wind of the Holy Ghost and make it into the kingdom. I'll be back with you Friday night around the world on WWRB at 9:30. Call a friend and tell them we've got a brand new series coming up Friday night. And I'll see you then. Yahweh bless you is my prayer. And may the Holy Ghost take a good liking to you. I love you.
Darkest fears out into the light. I've shouldered all my burdens on the strength of my pride, but I'm ready now to trust you with my life. My heart, my soul.